from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
There's a goal for somebody. Do we know who scored?
I don't know. That, but like Lou Helmet, oh, it's Derek. Because there's the stupid celebration with the Tiger Williams. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's Derek.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Who would have thought Sports Talk Saturday would be fair and measured and balanced?
I know, right?
Instead of wacky and insane. We're trying to be normal today,
mm-hmm.
As normal as possible.
Derek went full on Timo Solani shotgun and then air guitar breakdancing, I think is what just happened there.
Does anybody we work with see me covering my face after that?
Somebody's going to take him out.
On WGR.
I'm going pro media all-stars after that. I'm changing allegiances.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone doing here? Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, we're here with you for another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer down here at Harbor Center, Joe Kelly at Central Control in our Amherst studios. Daytime of the 11-day power play taking place down here in downtown Buffalo. And, hey, you know what? Happy to be here to, A, get made fun of in an open again, and B, be able to be down here and enjoy a little bit of a cooler setting than the studios over there, Joe.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's a little muggy in here. It looks like there's some torrential downpour going on outside. So if you are out and about and you've got nothing else going on, definitely go check out the 11-day. It's a, like you said in the tweet, in your response, it's a place to go get out of the rain and, you know, watch some fun hockey if you're not into the draft. But we're here for the draft, so I'm excited. Day two. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, day two of the NHL draft. About to get going here in about a half an hour. Buffalo with their first round pick yesterday, taking center Konsta Hellenius, as that is someone that it seems the scouting report says he's, you know, a potential pro ready second, third line center when it comes to how his game is formed already.
Yes.
So
he said he's a very complete player, which is good.
Yeah.
So
I'm not going to doubt Kevin Adams' drafting. He's just put himself in an awkward position at this point. But, of course, everything that's going on with the NHL draft, all that coverage is brought to you by Fugle Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy New York's outlet liquor when you need to stock up. It's a place to buy a case. And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. So, I think there's no better time than now. We get things started. We get the carpet rolled out. And we bring in Mr. Paul Hamilton, who's covering the NHL draft from Las Vegas and in the sphere. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. What's up?
Oh, we're all 3 different locations here in this little interview. This is going to be a fun little moment.
Yes. Lots of music going on from you guys. 2 different genres. It's going to be
awesome.
Come on,
Joe. Bring your phone out. Play some music.
I know. We got to balance it out on the studios end here. Paul, is the sphere
The difference is it's 8 in the morning for me.
Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about the 3-hour time difference. So last night when we were talking, you said the sphere, you were kind of in the dark. You in the same spot? Have you been kind of able to explore?
I'm in the same spot, and I was not impressed to start when I talked to Mike. I thought, well, maybe I just don't impress that easily. And then the draft started, and then everything exploded in here. I mean, all the effects that they can do, and it went from eh to, yeah, this is really cool. Now I get it. I understand now that the event has started, and because right now I'm kind of in the dark. I mean, they have a video going on for people that are fans that are entering the building right now. I can see the stands, which are pretty cool. Believe it or not, it is set up like a football stadium on the one end where they have seats. The highest seat here is higher than you would find down at the football stadium.
Wow, it is interesting. And yeah, I definitely wanted to ask you about the setting down there in the sphere, but it looks like you've already got that covered. And it was pretty interesting to look at it from the broadcast perspective yesterday. So I'd imagine it was a lot cooler taking it in person down there in Las Vegas.
No, absolutely was. And I expect more of the same. Again, I would say to you right now, just from what I've been looking at since I've been there, it's like, eh. But once 11:30 rolls around, eh, because, oh, wow, this is really cool.
Hey, sorry, Paul, I think I got the seat upgrade of the two of us. Mike and Chris were banished to the corner at Harbor Center back on Thursday. I'm sitting here right where, like, the press row would be at Harbor Center because there was a little bit of a flooding thing, so I had to get moved from that corner, and I'm put in the middle here.
Why did they put you in the corner?
Corner. I don't know, man. I think it was just, like, technology thing. I don't know. But they put Mike and Chris in the corner, and now I'm over here in the middle, and that's the one time I'm going to have a Trump card. But, Paul, Buffalo yesterday drafting at 14 instead of 11. They get center Kostas Helenius. Paul, it looks like the scouting report here says this guy could potentially be pro-ready and a middle six contributor, kind of like Zach Benson last year.
Yeah, and Adams, the one thing that struck me that he said is they want to get him to North America as quickly as they can, whether it's in Rochester. I'm not a huge fan of 18-year-olds in Rochester. Like, Nylander was awful as an 18-year-old in Rochester, and I think it basically ruined his career to have that happen to him. But on the other side of the coin, Kulik has handled it very well, you know, as an 18-year-old. So I think it just depends on the player. This seems like a more mature player. This is a player that's hard to play against. This is a player that said he got beat up by his brothers for growing up, and that's what got him to compete. You know, he was always competing against people bigger and stronger than him because they were fighting him all the time. And, so there's a lot of compete in him. And don't let the size fool you. He is hard to play against. He's good in the forecheck. As I said, don't necessarily let that size fool you.
But Paul, of course, one of the things that fans were looking for, and it was even contemplated by, you know, some in the media, was, you know, possibly looking to trade that pick for a player. And we saw him on the phone a lot during the broadcast, so it looked like he was getting active and aggressive trying to make some moves happen. But alas, they do have to pick at 14, and he spoke with the media afterwards about the trade market.
Yeah, you look at it, not one NHL player was traded yesterday. And that's not usually the case. So there was so much hype that Montreal at 5 wants to get out, Ottawa at 7 wants to get out, New Jersey at 10 wants to get out. We know for sure Buffalo at first 11 and then 14 wanted to get out. None of them did, but Buffalo just moved with draft picks. But as far as an NHL player, not a one was taken or traded, rather. So, I know Kevin Adams was very disappointed about that. He said he kind of figured that out by about mid-afternoon, you know, before we got over here, that, you know what, it just doesn't look like that's going to happen. So he was pretty disappointed about it. It was something that... And he said he felt he had a couple of very good offers on the table and was really disappointed that they didn't turn into trades, maybe tweak it a little bit or whatever. And here we are. And, I'm not going to overreact to an off season on what's today, whatever today's date is, June 28th, 9th, whatever it is. You know, I just when I react to an off season, it's usually September 29th. So there's a long ways to go. A lot of things can happen, and it just didn't happen the first day. And I understand it would be disappointing. And it's Kevin Adams has to find a way. That's his job. You know, he has to find a way to get the players that the Sabres need to get better. And first day, it didn't happen. So, but there are a lot of days left before we get to training camp and the Sabres wind up in Europe to finish up training camp and then play their first two games.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline from Las Vegas and giving us spherical coverage of the NHL draft. Paul, of course, when it comes to it, you mentioned it's basically what? We're looking at the second, third day of the offseason here, so there's a lot still that has to be done. Starting with two second-round picks at 42 and 43, typically this is where you see a little bit of that movement of players getting dished for second-rounders. I don't want to put hope into people's veins, but I feel like today might be more of the ideal of moving a second for a player that can be shuffled around.
And you got a first-round pick next year you can move. Of course, the team that's trading for it would have no idea where that pick is going to be, where they would have known this year. You have a stable of prospects that many feel around the NHL are the best prospect stable in the National Hockey League, and there are a lot of them. And they can't sign them all. They can't play them all. So, and some of them, not now, but within a couple of years, are going to start running into waivers. You know, where you have to waive them to send them to Rochester. And you don't want to lose them on waivers. So, you know, some of these guys are going to have to be moved for other assets. So, yes, it's they certainly could, you know, package those second-round picks. Again, if you want to put in your first-round pick next year or some of the guys that are top-end prospects that the Sabres do have. I figured out the other day they have 25 guys, very good, viable NHL prospects that are 25 years of age and under. Two of them, are in the NHL, Luukkonen and Joakim Harju. The other would be Rusyk. And only two guys that are 24. The rest of them are 23 and under. That's a lot of guys who are very viable NHL prospects who could be very, very good that you have in your stable here. And again, you can have 50 contracts. That's it. So you can't sign them all. And even if you do, where are you going to play them?
Yeah, Paul, absolutely. Just a quick question here. With all of those prospects that the Sabres do have and how young they are there any that you would not want them to move away from that you've seen kind of growing in the AHL and the leagues below that you would kind of fear for them moving on from that you'd like to see them maybe get some ice time or anything like that?
I always look at trades. That's fine. Go ahead. Go do your thing. Be great. As long as the Sabres get something very good in return that they needed. I have no problem. Fans want to see you make a trade and have the other team crying in 2 years, and you do it great. They want you to, we got to win this trade. No, you got to win it for yourself. Don't worry about what the other team does. You know, I'll use the example of the Reinhart trade. You think Florida is crying because Levi got traded to the Buffalo and they lost a first-round pick? That appears going to be a very good player in the Sabres system. So you have two teams that are happy with the return that they got. Reinhart was not going to re-sign here. So, you know, that's the type of trade. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a trade where both sides are happy.
Yeah, Paul, one of those parts was, of course, you know, I think part of it's also Buffalo fans have suffered through the O'Reilly and the Eichel trades where the returns look like they're slowly coming along for Buffalo. So it does hurt a little bit, so I could see where the frustration lies. But as you'd made mention with me over this past season, Kevin Adams does still need to do something and learn a lesson from the offseason of relative inactivity that he had last year.
Yeah, and he got the jump on this offseason by making the Mittelstadt Byram trade. That's a trade that they desperately needed to make last summer, that type of trade, and they didn't. But he was able to do that at the trade deadline. It's very hard to make a hockey trade at the trade deadline. He did it. So he got one of the off-season things that he needed to do off the table before the off-season even got here. So that was a good move by him. That was a move that needed to be made for the defense. You get a young defenseman who's actually already won the Stanley Cup. with Colorado. And, did you know, is Mittelstadt a good player? He certainly is. And Colorado, you know, I saw an interview with McKinnon yesterday or the day before, and he said there were nights Mittelstadt was their best player. You know, so, but again, I'll get back to what I just said. There's nothing wrong with Colorado being happy with that trade and Buffalo being happy with that trade. So they did. A lot of people forget about that trade when they're crucifying Adams, and I'm not criticizing anybody for crucifying him. Have at it. I mean, he hasn't. I mean, look where the franchise is. Look where it was supposed to be after 2 years ago, where they had a good year. Then last year, everything went downhill. He has to be held accountable for that. I have no problem with that. You know, he's got to fix it. I said it, and I mean it, and I would say it again. I don't think he should have been fired. I felt he should have gotten the opportunity and is getting opportunity to fix what he didn't do last year. Because before that, I thought he did a pretty good job as a GM until last year's offseason. Last year was not a good job at all. So, with that in mind, I felt he should get the opportunity, but, you know, that'll be judged once we get to October.
And one of his strengths is something that's going on yesterday and today. The drafting acumen has been solid. He brings in Zach Benson last year. I don't think anyone's really complaining about that, or they shouldn't be. So I do think that Hellenius looks like it's going to be a good fit, even though it's another player on a stock of already surplus goods. But, you know, to add one more player like that to the core down the middle is never entirely a bad thing when you look at his drafting acumen so far.
And look at the, I mean, we're talking about the high-end guys. Look at the two kid Russian defensemen. I thought, Komarov, he's, you know, the best defenseman in the Quebec League. He leads defensemen in scoring in the Quebec League. Not only does he do that, he's big and was second in the Quebec League in penalty minutes. He wasn't afraid to mix it up, you know? And that's, so what does Buffalo not need? Is he ready this year? No. I don't think he's ready this year, but, you know, he'll spend a year in Rochester. But, you know, that's a guy that is a fifth-round pick. You know, it's not Savoy. It's not Kulik. It's not Ostlin. It's not Hellenius. It's a guy that, you know, they went and got, and, you know, I thought did a really good job with it. And as a guy that I think eventually could wind up being a very good player for the Buffalo Sabres and be in their plans. But just they got to get better now. He does not make the big club better now. And, you know, he's a guy that 2-3 years down the road I think fans will be very happy with.
So, Paul, we mentioned maybe trading those back-to-back picks in the second round here. But if they do stay at pick 42 will be their next pick, do you have any idea or any thought on who you'd like them to go for position-wise or anything like that?
I'm not going to take any guesses. I mean, we're talking 18-year-olds here. We're talking about 18-year-olds, if we're all being very honest, that none of us have ever seen play before.
Yeah.
You know, and so you go by what you read. I mean, people are... not a lot of people, but some people were ripping the Sabres pick. They made the wrong pick. And my response was, okay, I respect that. What did you see in Hellenius' game and why you've watched him play that you don't like that they made the wrong pick? I know darn well the guy has never seen this guy take the ice ever. And it's like, but you're ripping a pick. You're ripping a guy that you've never even seen before. And that's the thing. So, and I'm not, you know, during hockey season, I'm busy. I'm not watching junior games, or college games. I'm on the road. I'm watching the NHL, and I have enough problems keeping up in the NHL. So, you know, it's so I can't, other than what I read about these guys, know, well, this would be a good player for Buffalo or this wouldn't. I started to talk about Komarov. I meant to add Novikov in there, too. I thought he's 21 years old, had a very good rookie year with Rochester. I was extremely impressed with him in the playoffs. I thought he played really, really well. And, again, you know, there's still things of his game that he needs to improve, but he's another guy that is bigger, stronger, and appears to be a guy that, you know, in a couple of years would help. So, you know, when you look at the prospect pool, everybody wants to talk about Savoy and Benson and Ostlin and Kulik and guys that are already here and Power and Quinn and Roseanne and the rest of them, you know, Cousins. But, you know, some of these other guys are there too. And again, well, you're well stocked. How are they all going to play? Are they all going to play?
Yeah, that's another one. And just to add to it, I mean, he's one of the top contributors now, but, you know, J.J. Paterka was a second-round pick. That's not something that oftentimes we've seen the Sabres hit on in recent years with round two players. So even that is considered a really good success there. Paul, before we let you go, though, obviously the rumors rampant about Jeff Skinner as a buyout. I'm sure you've been asked about it plenty of times on the station, but I figure, you know what, why not one more stone toss?
Yeah, and when Adam says they haven't decided yet, what he's trying to say is they haven't decided what route they're going to take, you know? Is it going to be the route of buyout? Is it going to be the route of, you know, could there somehow, some way be a trade that could be set up? It doesn't matter if you buy him out in the next 5 minutes or if you buy him out at 4:59 on the 30th of June when the deadline hits at 5 o'clock. You don't get any salary cap difference, or there's no advantage one way or the other. So I think you look at it, why not wait to the end? You don't have to make the decision now. Just be sure that there's no other option available to you. And then at the end, if there is no option, which I don't think there will be, then you go ahead and do it.
Paul, we'll check in with you when we can, as you're going to be a very busy man down there covering the NHL draft in Las Vegas. So this won't be the last we hear from you, and hopefully you're not left in the dark for much longer.
And the best part is I have a drone flying over me.
Oh, yes. I need that drone coverage right now. I need that camera. Get it to me.
How often do they fly by, Paul?
Oh, he's on the other side now. He's coming my way. Comes quick, though. I don't know if I get a good, especially in this light, I don't know if I could get a good video of it. I might. Here he is. Now he's like, he's within.
We're watching drones
within,
in the Vegas.
He's within here. One table of me now to my right.
Paul,
it's like watching for a bee because I'm allergic to bee stings. It's like, all right, yeah. The bee's one table. I should maybe get up.
I need that Paul vision right now, more than anything.
Me looking at the drone?
Yes, I need it. Paul, you get to say to Howard, by the way, that he's the only guy to have lost on the bench for Team WGR.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me he's the only guy at WGR that actually covered Babe Ruth.
That's awesome.
Oh, this is standard stuff, Joe. You look at the two of them on Twitter, but... Paul, thank you, and we will hear more from you later on.
Okay, take care, guys.
That's Paul Hamilton from Las Vegas and the Sphere, live on the West Hura Hotline for as we are about to get started with day two of the NHL draft, which, of course, Joe, I'll give you a second before I tee it up, but who is it brought to you by?
Coverage of the NHL draft on WGR is brought to you by Fugelcar and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market.
Joe, of course, and this is more of a programming note, we're going to be very busy here, not just obviously the two of us, but we're going to have a rotating seats along in two places. Joe at Central Control, Brayton Wilson be joining him, I do believe, in a little bit of time here.
Meanwhile, he may or may not have just walked in right now, so he's here.
He may or may not have. Oh, there's sources right there, baby.
Sources say he's in the building.
Sources say he's in the
building. Yeah, I'm here, and we actually have a Sabres trade to talk about now.
Oh, Brayton coming in with the breaking news.
Sabres just announced they've acquired Beck Malenstein from the Capitals in exchange for the 43rd pick.
What's
in this year's
position?
Draft. He's a forward. He's a winger.
Okay. All right.
All right, then.
Have to look into him in the break.
Definitely a more of a depth player, but has had some decent success in the Capitals organization for a few years.
All right.
All right. Well, Brayton coming in and dropping the breaking news almost immediately there. That's exactly the kind of stuff that we need. Meanwhile, down here, you'll hear from other voices like Josh Schmidt, he'll be here later on, as well as TJ Luckman. They'll be rotating in with me down here at Harbor Center. So we've got ourselves a loaded crew, a busy day, and you'll hear from plenty of different voices here today on a Sports Talk Saturday meshed in to the NHL draft coverage. We'll get more of that coming up here on the other side. Derek Kramer, now joined by Brayton Wilson and Joe Calley, Evan's on the board on the controls here. You're listening to WGR 550.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
The NHL Draft on WGR. Who will the Sabres select?
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres, proud to select.
Hear it live on the home of the Sabres.
And now, with all the coverage of the NHL Draft, here's your host, Derek Kramer.
Welcome back. Day 2 of the NHL Draft about to get underway. Joe Kelly, Brayton Wilson in our Amherst studios, and we had just dismissed our own Paul Hamilton. The Sabres made a trade, and we bring him right back. It's the good old gotcha strategy, all according to plan, Paul.
Yeah, we hang up and start talking about drones, and here we are talking about trades.
Well, let's take a look at this thing, though. The Sabres, they dish out pick 43 to the Washington Capitals for forward Beck Malinston of Washington. He ends up with a career-high 21 points last year in Washington in 81 games. It looks like the Sabres are getting some grit, a little bit of defense for the penalty kill on the forward core coming in with pick 43.
Yeah, the exact type of player they need, a guy who gets in on the forecheck, is not, you know, near the, this is his first full-time season with Washington, but it gets in on the forecheck, not afraid to mix things up in the corner in front of the net, is a very good penalty killer. He was 5th, I believe, in penalty killing time for the Washington Capitals last year. So he's a guy that's difficult to play against and is a perfect guy for what we're talking about in the bottom 6 forwards. He's 26 years old, so, you know, he still has a lot in him. And, you know, he also won a Calder Cup with the Hershey Bears before he started playing full-time with the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
Of course. Yep. Sorry, go ahead, guys.
No, you're all right. So pick 43 now, is that I don't know if that's exactly where my head was at with what they're going to trade for, but he has seen some success, I guess, on the Capitals, and he seems more like a depth addition. So, I mean, where do you think he fits in exactly on the roster as it's built now before any more draftees are added or any free agents?
No, he's absolutely one of those bottom 6 guys they're looking for to be hard, that makes this team harder to play against. So that's where he fits in. He's not going to score 30 goals. I mean, he had 6 goals last year in 81 games and 21 points. So that's not what he's here for. That's not what he's being traded for. He's being traded to make the Sabres hard. Make it so when teams come into the Buffalo Sabres building, they're not saying, this will be easy. Not necessarily easy to win the game, but easy that, you know, we're not going to probably have too many black and blue marks. We're not going to be all that tired. They need to get more of those guys that make it difficult on the other team. You know, and Greenway. You know, a guy like Greenway who gets in on the forecheck, causes turnovers. He was amazing how he did that, especially the second half of the year when he got healthier, where he'd roll in there, cause turnovers, and that would help the Sabres wind up scoring goals, and he wouldn't even necessarily get an assist on the play.
Paul Hamilton live from Las Vegas. Yeah, it looks like Malinston is going to be that kind of guy, like you just said, hard to play against. Probably a third or fourth liner, so to say, if they're numbering lines again. I don't know if Lindy's going to do it or not, but of course, it's a guy. He led the Capitals in hits as well. So, like you just said, it's a guy that they're not going to get run out of the building physically when it comes to it with an addition like this.
And will stand up for teammates.
Yep.
You know, I've seen him do that with the Capitals too, and that's something the Sabres are low on. Let's put it that way, if we want to be polite.
Yeah, I mean, again, it'll always help to have that sort of change of pace, so to say, in the bottom six. A little bit more of a grit addition here for the team, hopefully to be able to make it straight out into the forward core here for Buffalo coming in. Brayton, you're texting me that I've been mispronouncing his name.
It's Beck Malenstein. That's how you say his last name, Malenstein.
Malenstein. All right.
Brayton's the guru on the hockey names.
Well, that is correct. It is Malenstein.
All right. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate that.
No, thank you, Derek.
I can only be made to look like a fool so much without you guys having to step in. So you guys got to help keep me afloat.
We're trying.
It's like yesterday where we were all pronouncing Hellenius's name wrong, and I actually walked up and asked him, how do you want it? And that's how he said is Hellenius is how he wants his name pronounced. So, everything we've learned before that is out the window.
Hey,
it still is out the window, Paul. It's Hellenius to me still.
Oh.
So he doesn't know how to pronounce his name?
Listen, everything that I've followed, watched, and everything with him, I've heard Hellenius, so I've just kind of coached that in my head. And it'll take me a bit. I'll probably get there eventually.
Oh,
but
I thought you meant you weren't going to do it. You're going to get stubborn.
No, I'm not like that.
No, Paul, that's you.
it's a classic Tyrod Taylor situation. He wants it pronounced a different way.
Or when Talinder or Talinder or whoever he was showed up, or Ludman or
Lidman. Ludman, yeah. Same thing.
Names are fun. That's
it's
all
the Europeans, Paul. The Europeans like their own different way of saying things.
Vaclav or Vaclav.
Yep. Yep, that too. We could have a whole segment, whole show on just names. Pronunciations and how they've changed over the years. Sekera. Andre Sekera. Andre Sekera.
Yeah.
One. Yeah. That's one.
It's nuts.
That is one, yeah. But all we're learning here is names are fun. And but Paul, we ended up saying our farewells one time already. Let's make it a little quicker here. We'll check in with you on next opportunity.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing more of this as far as trades go.
Make some more deals, Kevin, so that we can keep faking everyone out.
Talk to you later.
All right, that's Paul Hamilton live from the Sphere in Las Vegas as the Sabres, again, making a trade there, acquiring forward Beck Malenstein from the Washington Capitals in exchange for pick 43.
By
so
the
Buffalo's
way,
next pick is still their next pick.
We have our first two picks off the board, so the day two of the draft has already begun. No surprise, at least in my mind, who the first player off the board was. Igor Chernyshev, a really good, skilled, two-way Russian forward, goes to the San Jose Sharks. And then Dominik Badinka, a right-shot defenseman, born in Czechia, playing in Sweden, goes to Carolina with the second pick of the second round.
All right, there we go. We're moving and shaking here with the NHL draft. And you know what? Like, it's a little snarky tongue-in-cheek of me to say, like...
No, snarky tongue-in-cheek from you, Derek?
They made a trade. I'd still like to see some top six help, especially if the rumors are going to end up true about Jeff Skinner. He still needs some scoring help either way. And hopefully the Sabres are able to get themselves in a position to do that as well.
Yeah, my takeaway from that trade for Beck Malenstein is he's a decent bottom six forward at the NHL level. Last year, he showed some good promise as an up and coming. I mean, he was a former fifth round pick of the Capitals in 2016. He took quite a while to develop down in the minors, down in juniors. He finally gets his first full time crack at the NHL this past season, and he put up 21 points in 81 games. He was I had this here. Fifth among NHL forwards in shorthanded ice time. First on the Capitals in hits and first among Capitals forwards in block shots. So he's a guy that's going to provide a nice defensive style of play at the forward group. He's going to be reliable in his own end. And, yeah, I mean, you need those type of players on the roster. But, I mean, for me to give up a second-round pick to go get a guy like that, I don't know where the value is there.
Yeah, it was potentially a little rich for the blood when it comes to talent coming in on that. Because when I'm thinking of like second rounder player caliber that gets traded, the first place my brain went to, and I think that's unfair of me to say this, was Brandon Saad a couple years ago when he was dealt from Chicago to Columbus. And, you know, like that's putting it on a high pedestal. But at the same time, you want a little bit more of a middle six, potentially top six addition to be added on day two. And again, we're still just getting started here. So I'm not going to go ahead and say let's raise hellfire. But at the same time, yeah, it's a little eyebrow raising considering that Washington traded for Andrew Mangiapane and they gave up a second.
Still at pick 42, though. Still at pick 43. Pick 42. Yikes.
Yep. Hey, and we're going to go 40 through all of it when everything goes through. So you're welcome. I've got you, man. But, yeah, no, it's they made a trade. And you know what? Maybe that's him getting warmed up and not being done. Maybe it's just introductory negotiations so that you can get more.
I definitely think that a goal for either today or at some point this offseason is you have to include that 25 first round pick as part of some sort of trade to go get the player that you're looking to get that will immediately help in the lineup and make an impact right away. Because the ultimate goal here going forward should be the Sabres are trying to get to the playoffs. Who cares if you end up being the second wild card team, you get swept in the first round, and next thing you know, oh, it's the 17th overall pick that is going to be in the 2025 NHL draft. Who cares at this point? Konstantin Hellenius should be the last first round pick that the Sabres should take and be, as you know, seen as like this next guy coming up. For a while, it should now be the focus of, okay, what more can we do to add to this Buffalo Sabres roster? And not Rochester, not the prospect depth, but the Buffalo Sabres at the NHL level right now to be able to get them over that hump and get them to the intended goal of finally making the playoffs for the first time in 13 seasons and building a consistent winner in the NHL going forward. That was what Kevin Adams said when he fired Don Granato, is he wanted a more consistent product that Don Granato, he felt, was not bringing to the table. And that has to be the case. You have to be able to now look to try and build an NHL team with really good NHL talent that's going to try and gel and mesh together and work all in unison to be able to get a team like the Buffalo Sabres to the next step, which is the playoffs. And even again, if they get swept this upcoming season in the first round, the fact they made the playoffs again is still a win. And then from there, you continue to build and try to get better. That should be the goal, is just get to the postseason in 24-25. And then from there, you continue to try and build. You let the prospects get to the NHL level. You let them try to flourish, put them in good situations, so on and so forth. The ultimate goal, though, this upcoming season is get to the playoffs. And if you have to trade away your next first-round pick, even if it's today or tomorrow or in mid-July or mid-August, like the Jeff Skinner trade happened years ago, I'm fine with that. Just get to the playoffs. That's it.
And not to mention, the big scouting report on him and on Hellenius here is he's almost pro-ready, which means that that's a closer immediate impact when it comes to a prospect, a player that will probably be able to rotate into the bottom six a little easier than, say, a Kulik or a Savoy, a more skill-based player like that. So, again, that allows you an opportunity, like you've now used another first-round pick on a player that could have a similar impact to, say, Zach Benson in a couple of years of when it comes to immediately being able to make the camp roster and the team roster. So at that point, yeah, I'm with you. Enough's enough. Try to get aggressive here. And when you have those other picks that you can use that 25 first-round pick. That's an opportunity for you to just be able to go in there, make an aggressive deal, because you're all there right now. You've got all at your tables. Go talk with somebody.
Yeah.
Have a chat.
No, you're right. And we're nearing pick 42 right now.
Calgary's on the clock at 41. So we'll give you the Sabres pick.
Here, yeah.
And then we'll probably go to break. But there's a number of players that I'll give you guys right off the bat here in the time that we have that are still available that I would love the Sabres to pick. Teddy Stiga is one. He's a forward playing with the U.S. National Development Team. He was great. One of the guys that was on my list, Andrew Bacha, going to Calgary. So now the Sabres are officially on the clock with their pick.
Here we
Cole
go.
Cole Hutson is the younger brother of Lane Hutson, who was a Montreal pick. Henry Muse is an offensive right-handed shot defenseman who I really like and I think could be a good value pick here. There's some names that are definitely interesting this for the Sabres with this 42 pick here, as we just at this point are just awaiting the picks to go flying off the board at this point, as is nice with rounds 2 through 7 in the NHL draft. The NFL draft likes to drag everything on.
You don't have to remind me. I was sitting in those chairs where you guys were for 3 days looking at the same two faces in Geary and Zach, and I'm pretty sure they were sick of looking at mine at that point, too.
Probably.
But we spent way too much time sitting there talking about the NFL draft because they don't move very quickly.
Like, all right,
it's
the Sabres,
3 minutes in the first round.
The Sabres pick is in, and they've selected Adam Klaber, a defenseman. And I've got to look him up because I did not. He's not one of the players that I had on my list of best available players still there.
It's not on the Brayton's best available, but
no,
you know what?
Not quite, but he's a 6'5" defenseman. 214 pounds, right shot defenseman, a USA-born player. He played with the Lincoln Stars in the United States Hockey League. 26 points in 56 games, 5 goals, 21 assists, and he's going to be going to play at the University of Minnesota Duluth. So he's going to go to a good program at the collegiate level. The hope is he'll take a positive step in his development progress playing at the collegiate level, and you see where things go from there. But the Sabres going with Adam Klaber, and according to EliteProspects.com, this is what they had written here, quote, "With agility, reach, and details, Klaber's a formidable defender. He angles opponents to the outside and times his pokes just as they expose the puck. He has the range to switch between high, low, and off-puck coverage with ease. He's physical, yet rarely chases or ends up in the box." So it seems like they got a pretty solid two-way type of guy who is very solid in his own end for a right shot defenseman of his size.
Disciplined right-hand shot defenseman. Sounds like something that would be nice for the Sabres to develop here. We'll see what happens. But, of course,
They also say mobile defenseman and two-way defenseman. So
that's what you want to see? Right. Exciting.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. They could afford to pick a right shot defenseman, especially a right-handed shot defenseman, and stack the cupboards that way.
Exactly. So who knows what what we'll keep going with here.
Listen, I'm fine with the two picks that they've made so far. I don't know how I feel about the trade for Beck Malenstein giving up pick 43. I think you could have gotten him for, you know, maybe trading a fourth round pick, but, you know, I digress. There's nothing I could do about it. I'm not the GM of the team. I'm just someone sitting in front of a microphone allowed to be able to talk to people that want to listen to us every day.
Yeah, no, it's one of these things where if I'm trusting something with Adams consistently, it's his draft acumen and his draft record right now, because we have seen them stack up a very solid prospect core. Now it's just a matter of getting to use some of that to help get more aggressive with the roster construction. That's the part that we're all looking for still.
Before we go to break, David tweets at us on X. Sabres Twitter: Adams has to be more aggressive to make a trade. Also, Sabres Twitter: I can't believe Adams just gave up a second-round pick for a bottom six forward. It's a perfect Twitter world, ladies and gentlemen. And,
I feel like it's also entirely all on the nose.
Mm.
Like, there are going to be people that are going to be very upset about this because it looks like a perceived lack of value. But I'm hoping it's just the start of more additions to come.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Capitals just took the one defenseman that I really like off the board, Cole Hudson, right with the pick the Sabres gave up.
Yes, exactly. So that's even better.
That's going to look really great when he turns out to be a really nice prospect.
Well, we'll talk about all this in 4 years, all right? Yeah. Evan, clip this and send it to us in 4 years.
All right, let's go to break.
Let's go to break. We'll come back, and we'll kind of be in and out in this next segment. But when we return, obviously, we'll keep things going here, coverage of the NHL draft. It is brought to you by Feeble Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's only outlet liquor when you need to stock up. It's your place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. Joe Calley, Brayton Wilson in the Amherst studios. I'm Derek Kramer from Harbor Center. We'll have more coverage coming up next here on WGR.
Welcome back. NHL draft coverage here on WGR. Also Sports Talk Saturday, but coverage of the NHL draft on WGR is brought to you by Feeble Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? and by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. Brayton Wilson and I here. Derek Kramer taking a lap around the ice real quick, stretching out the hamstrings.
Yeah, get out there and try to get things going.
Yeah.
He's only had, what, two other shifts to try to get warmed up for this one?
Right. Well,
that's not a shot at Derek.
He's got he's got to work out. So.
Tucking his chain.
Yeah.
Couple of notable picks that have gone off the board since we were last on the air. Max Plant, son of former Sabre Derek Plant, has taken 46th overall or 47th overall by the Detroit Red Wings. Ryder Ritchie, son of Byron Ritchie, goes to Minnesota at pick 45. And then Cole Hutson, younger brother of Lane Hutson, former Canadiens pick, goes with the 43rd pick to the Capitals, the pick that was traded by the Sabres to Washington for Beck Malenstein.
Yes, and there was also a trade.
There
right?
was. There was also a pretty significant trade. The Utah Hockey Club acquires Mikhail Sergachev from the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is a pretty significant trade.
Yeah.
The Lightning, in return, get J.J. Moser, who's had some NHL experience. Connor Geeky, a former first-round pick of the Coyotes, now Utah Hockey Club. Let's see. Geeky was 2022 because he was also drafted with teammate Matt Savoy, so former 2022 first-round pick. And another trade with Utah, they've acquired John Marino from the New Jersey Devils. So
they're
very interesting. Yeah, they're Utah's going to win now, which is good for them.
Yeah.
Why not set the tone for the new city, for the new ownership and everything? But the rest of the trade is J.J. Moser, defenseman, Connor Geeky, center, a 2025 second-round pick, and a 2024 seventh-round pick.
Okay.
And no salary retained. Tampa Bay clears $8.5 million off the books, which is more than enough to keep Steven Stamkos if the team so desires.
Well, there you go. That's what they had to do.
Nothing more on the details of the John Marino trade just yet, but the Devils are trading a pretty decent defenseman in John Marino to Utah. So Utah is trying to revamp and get much better on the fly. Their defense, of course, already much better with Mikhail Sergachev and John Marino.
Yes.
To go along with, I honestly have to look at the roster because Utah Hockey Club roster. Let's look this up real quick just so I can see who Mikhail Sergachev is joining. Yeah, not a great list.
No.
Not a great list. Sergachev and John Marino join the likes of Josh Brown, who's a bottom pair defenseman who's been okay. Travis Dermott, who's shown flashes of being okay. Sean Durzi's probably their best defenseman. Mm-hmm. They acquired him from the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh, okay.
A year or two ago. So.
All right. Well, yeah, they're, like you said, looking to start the tone right in Utah. So.
And we also had a couple of goalies go off the board as well. The first goalies, Ilya Nabokov from Russia, played with Magnitogorsk and helped them win the KHL championship this past year. He goes to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And then the latest one, Mikhail Yegorov, goes off the board, another Russian goaltender who played in North America this year with Omaha in the USHL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goes to New Jersey.
Goes to the Devils. So we're going to keep you posted.
These
on the
picks
other end
roll
of the break.
Along much faster than the NFL draft, folks. We're loving this though.
Yeah,
we are loving it.
Lots to recap probably on the other side of the break. We'll see if we can get some more details on that trade. But you're listening to live coverage of the NHL draft on WGR and Sports Talk Saturday. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to WGR.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. NHL draft coverage here on WGR. Also Sports Talk Saturday, but coverage of the NHL draft on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods. Dash's Market. Brayton Wilson and I here. Derek Kramer taking a lap around the ice real quick, stretching out the hamstrings.
Yeah, get out there and try to get things going.
I mean, he's
only had, what, two other shifts to try to get warmed up for this one?
Right. Well, that's
not a shot at Derek.
He's got LBI. He's got to work out. So.
Tugging his chain.
Yeah.
Couple of notable picks that have gone off the board since we were last on the air. Max Plant, son of former Saber Derek Plant, has taken 46th overall or 47th overall by the Detroit Red Wings. Ryder Ritchie, son of Byron Ritchie, goes to Minnesota at pick 45. And then Cole Hutson, younger brother of Lane Hutson, former Canadiens pick, goes with the 43rd pick to the Capitals, the pick that was traded by the Sabres to Washington for Beck Malenstein.
Yes, and there was also a trade.
There
right?
was. There was also a pretty significant trade. The Utah Hockey Club acquires Mikhail Sergachev from the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is a pretty significant trade.
Yeah.
The Lightning, in return, get J.J. Moser, who's had some NHL experience. Connor Geeky, a former first-round pick of the Coyotes, now Utah Hockey Club. Let's see. Geeky was 2022 because he was also drafted with teammate Matt Savoy, so former 2022 first-round pick. And another trade with Utah, they've acquired John Marino from the New Jersey Devils. So
they're
very interesting. Utah's going to win now, which is good for them.
Yeah.
Why not set the tone for the new city, for the new ownership and everything? But the rest of the trade is J.J. Moser, defenseman, Connor Geeky, center, a 2025 second-round pick, and a 2024 seventh-round pick.
Okay.
And no salary retained. Tampa Bay clears $8.5 million off the books, which is more than enough to keep Steven Stamkos if the team so desires.
Well, there you go. That's what they had to do.
Nothing more on the details of the John Marino trade just yet, but the Devils are trading a pretty decent defenseman in John Marino to Utah. So Utah is trying to revamp and get much better on the fly. Their defense, of course, already much better with Mikhail Sergachev and John Marino.
Yes.
To go along with, I honestly have to look at the roster because Utah Hockey Club roster. Let's look this up real quick just so I can see who Mikhail Sergachev is joining. Yeah, not a great list.
No.
Not a great list. Sergachev and John Marino join the likes of Josh Brown, who's a bottom pair defenseman who's been okay. Travis Dermott, who's shown flashes of being okay. Sean Durzi's probably their best defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
They acquired him from the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh, okay.
A year or two ago. So.
All right. Well, yeah, they're, like you said, looking to start the tone right in Utah. So.
And we also had a couple of goalies go off the board as well. The first goalies, Ilya Nabokov from Russia, played with Magnitogorsk and helped them win the KHL championship this past year. He goes to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And then the latest one, Mikhail Yegorov, goes off the board, another Russian goaltender who played in North America this year with Omaha in the USHL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goes to New Jersey.
Goes to the Devils. So we're going to keep you posted.
These
on the
picks
other end
roll
of the break.
Along much faster than the NFL draft, folks. We're loving this though.
Yeah,
we are loving it.
Lots to recap probably on the other side of the break. We'll see if we could get some more details on that trade. But you're listening to live coverage of the NHL draft on WGR and Sports Talk Saturday. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.